Good morning. I could hear that. Even though you're all masked, I could still hear that good morning to all who are watching at home today. We welcome each and every one of you to our service. A different service today, but a service that we've done on this Sunday over the last number of years. And so this is our back to school with God service today, using the material that Scripture Union provide each year. Today we're going to be thinking about the start of a new school year, and all of us are trying to settle back into a routine after a major time of change and challenge. Towards the end of last week, there were three in our household in the manse who were starting back to school. School is a big part of the life of our family, and even though we've one who has now left school, she's missing it so much, she's going to go and study for 4 years so that she can get back into a school again. And perhaps you're starting school for the first time, some of our boys and girls, or maybe you've moved to a new school, you've moved from primary school to secondary school, maybe you've gone into a new year group, or maybe you're moving on to further study. Maybe as an adult you're back to your work in school, or you're starting back to other work. And all of these things in the current climate, even without the pandemic, it's normal to feel excited and a wee bit nervous at the start of term, but especially in these strange days. Sometimes we might wonder what lies ahead in the days and weeks to come. And so here's a Bible verse to encourage us, and a Bible verse for us to remember. Psalm 145, verses 18 to 19 tells us, "The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries and saves them." These are a wonderful reminder, these words, a wonderful reminder that God not only hears us when we pray, but he wants to come close to us. He cares for us. He rescues us. And God wants us to talk to him about everything. And so we want to begin our service now by doing that, by coming and speaking to our God. So let's come before God in prayer. Our Lord God, we worship you today as our creator, as our provider, as our protector, as our Lord and Savior. We thank you that you are close when we talk to you. We thank you that you listen to us. We thank you that your Son Jesus came to die to save us, that you love us as deeply as that. And we thank you that you hear the cries of our heart. And as we come together this morning in this building and in homes, may we be aware of your presence. Help us to listen to your words in the Bible. Help us to know that you want to teach us. Give us hearts that long to obey you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to praise God together, and the band are going to lead us in the song, "There Is a Higher Throne." Thanks to Ian and the band for leading us in our music. Boys and girls and grown-ups, whenever you see lions, I wonder what Bible story you think of. When you hear lions, what Bible story do you think of? Well, I'm sure we all think of a very familiar story in the Bible involving a man called Daniel. And it's Daniel we're thinking about today. Maybe you know someone called Daniel. We have a Daniel in Railway Street. We'll be seeing and hearing from him later in the service. But we're thinking about the Daniel of the Bible today. A Daniel who lived a long time ago. A Daniel who lived 600 years before Jesus was born. So that's 2,600 years ago. And Daniel had many great adventures that the book that bears his name tells us about. But we want to find out a little more about Daniel at this stage. And so we're going to watch a short video introducing Daniel. Now, don't try to be guessing and identifying who these people are. Let me tell you now, they're not members of Railway Street. This video was produced by Scripture Union in Scotland. So they're not our own folks. But let's watch the video and let's learn a bit more about the Daniel we're thinking about today.
Hello, and welcome to Babylon TV News, the lifestyle section. My name is Hezekiah Rephaniah III. On today's show, we'll be having fashion out of Persia. We'll be speaking to King Darius's very own chef, Gordon Blur, about some of the recipes that the king absolutely loves to eat. But before all of that, please welcome a very special guest. Not the first, not the second, but the third most important man on the land. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Belteshazzar!
Thanks for having me.
Okay, Belteshazzar, you're very welcome. But I understand you have another name.
Yes, my parents called me Daniel, but my name was changed when I moved to Babylon.
But you weren't born in Babylon, were you? Can you tell us a bit about where you're from and how you came to Babylon in the first place?
Yes, that's right. I come from the city of Jerusalem. When I was a teenager, my city was conquered by the Babylonians, and some of us were brought here to live, and I've lived here ever since.
Amazing. We have one of your school reports saying what you were like in those days. Turns out you were quite a good student. It says here that you were without any physical defect. Handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace.
Well, that's why my friends and I were chosen. We were good students, and they were looking for people to come into service in the royal palace, and actually they wanted to teach us how to be good Babylonians.
So you were, what, 17 and living in the palace? It sounds like you were living the dream.
Well, yes, we did have some difficulties with what had happened. We had a new name, it was a new place, new language, new rules. I think for us the hardest thing was that we were now living amongst a people who did not serve the true and living God.
True and living God?
We believe in the God who created everything, who holds all things together, who loves his people and wants them to love him in return. We believe he has a plan for all of our lives, and that's the case even when the unexpected happens.
Like being brought to a faraway country.
Yes, we believe God was still in control. We find here that the people didn't love or even really know him. We felt it was important to stand up and to stand out for him.
I have a few notes here. Something about refusing food?
Oh yeah. There was a situation where we were asked to eat food just from the king's table, but it was food that had been offered to idols, bits of wood and bits of stone that weren't alive, but people treated them as though they were gods. And so we felt that it would be wrong to accept that food, and so we just said no to that food.
So you said no to the king. That's very brave.
We didn't see it as brave, we just saw it as the right thing to do.
So, how do you get from being a food-refusing student with a group of disobedient friends to being the third most important man in the land?
Well, that's as much of a surprise to me as it is to you, let me tell you. I just wanted to love and to follow God no matter what he tells me and matter where he brings me. And my journey with him has brought me into this position. I think it all started with the dreams and the floating hand.
A dream? A hand?
Oh, no, sorry. They're stories for another time. You can read about them also in the written records. Basically, God has enabled me to serve and help the kings that I've been working for.
Wow. So what has helped you?
Now, don't get me wrong. This is the king we're talking about here. He's as likely to kill me as he is to listen to me, especially when I'm telling him things he doesn't always want to hear. But I do know that God is in control, and I also know that following him is the most important thing, no matter what that means, no matter where it brings me, no matter what it asks me to do.
So, you've been taken away from your home. You've stood out from the crowd all your life. You and your friends have been in danger for your beliefs. How do you deal with the difficult times?
Well, for me, it all comes back to that relationship with God. I make sure I speak to him 3 times a day. And now that King Darius has taken over, I am confident that God has placed me in this position for this time to achieve something for him. So I will continue to trust him and to serve him for as long as I live. I've only been able to do what the kings have asked and interpret their dreams, for example, by the power of Almighty God.
Now, no offence, but you're an old man now. Have you any advice for the people at home watching?
Well, for me, it all comes down to prayer. Never stop praying, trust in God, and be confident in his plans for your life. Prayer has shaped me. Prayer has saved me time and again. And I believe that no matter what I face going forward, prayer will continue to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us, Daniel. That's all for today's show. We hope you've enjoyed it and look forward to seeing you next week.
So Daniel has had a pretty exciting life so far. He wouldn't have chosen for many of the things that had happened to him to happen, but he trusted that God was in control of his life. And this morning we're turning to chapter 6 of Daniel. I want to encourage you, whether here in our meeting house or at home, to turn to chapter 6 of Daniel's book, because Daniel's going to have another adventure today, because by this time there's a new king, King Darius, who is on the throne, and we want to find out what happens next. Now, another one of the reasons why it's important, I want you to look up this reading today, is that our reading, it's not quite of the same high quality that you've had of late, so it'll be important to follow along as well. But our reading today has been recorded by one of our young teachers, Josh Curra, who has returned back to Liverpool for the start. He's teaching in a school there, and the English schools are going back to school this week. So Josh is going to read for us Daniel 6, verses 1 to 10. Amen. Thanks, Josh. And we wish Josh God's blessing and protection as he takes up his job again over in England. Boys and girls, mums and dads, grown-ups, when a new king came along in those days, that new king normally brought in lots of new rules for people to follow. It's not always easy to follow rules, is it? Not always easy to follow rules. And I'm sure with many of you having gone back to school for half a day or a couple of days last week, you have discovered that there are all sorts of new rules that you have to follow in school. Rules about which way you walk with one-way systems, maybe about having to wear face coverings in the corridor, maybe new rules about break and lunch and PE and how everything seems to work in school. Lots of new rules to follow. Well, King Darius ruled over a very large kingdom, and it was a big job. And to help him in ruling over that kingdom and making sure people were keeping the rules that he made, he chose people to help him. He chose reliable and responsible leaders to make sure that people were keeping his rules. And as we heard in that reading, hopefully one of those people that he chose was Daniel. Daniel. Now, choosing people to help is a bit like what happens in your school, I'm sure, because your head teacher, your principal, is in charge, but he or she asks others to help so that the school runs smoothly. And so there are vice principals to help in that, and teachers take on different jobs in your schools in order to assist the principal in the running of that school. And maybe for some of you as pupils, you help as well. Maybe you're messengers, or maybe you're buddies to younger children. Or maybe you serve as prefects or as head girls or head boys or deputies. And I know even around Railway Street this morning, we've a handful of former head girls or head boys or deputies. And hopefully, like Daniel, you're given responsibility because you can be trusted and because other people respect you and think well of you. And we're told that Daniel really stood out from the crowd. Daniel was trustworthy. He wasn't lazy, he was hardworking, he didn't cheat. I wonder what that would look like in your school. It will involve, I'm sure, working hard, not being late for class, getting your homework in on time, helping others, keeping your promises, listening well, being respectful and kind. And when we live like that, especially in our society today, people take notice. People notice. And of course, above all, Daniel loved and trusted God, and that shaped who he was as a person. He always worked hard. And he did it so that his life would bring honor to God, not so that he would become rich or famous. And we're told that God gave Daniel success. He caused the king to give Daniel promotion. God loved Daniel, and Daniel loved God. And Daniel allowed God to be in charge. And as a result, God was the one who was shaping Daniel's life for him. Friends, God wants all of us to live for him rather than living for ourselves, which so many in our society do. And the Bible tells us that only God knows our future. And so it's important that, like Daniel, we entrust our lives over to God and we trust him to lead us, to guide us, and to shape our lives for us, because he has a plan for each one of our lives. And the more time we spend with God, the more he changes our thinking and our attitudes and helps us to become more like his son, the Lord Jesus. One of the most important things about Daniel and what he did was this. 3 times a day in his room, he got down on his knees and prayed. And he prayed at the window, always facing Jerusalem, thinking of the home that he had been taken from. In Jerusalem was the temple where his people had worshipped God. 3 times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed. He didn't just pray a quick prayer in the morning or a brief thank you prayer at night. He prayed 3 times a day on his knees. And because he prayed often, he became the kind of person that God wanted him to be. His strength and his trust were in God, not in himself. And his focus wasn't on the great things he could do, but on the great things that God could do through him. Back in our Bible reading, the king made a new law. And it was a silly law, but some people, they were enemies of Daniel who were jealous of his success. They persuaded the king to make that law that people couldn't, for a period of time, pray to any other god except praying to King Darius himself. And so that new law put people who prayed to God in danger. Did Daniel stop praying? No, not at all. Did he pray to King Darius instead, as the law said? Certainly not. He knew there was no point in praying to King Darius. When he heard about this new law, this new rule, he did as he usually did. He went into his room 3 times a day, knelt down, and prayed to the one true God. Even when the king's new law was introduced, Daniel prayed and thanked God, just as he had always done. Taking everything to God in prayer was normal for Daniel. And he wasn't going to stop now just because of a silly new rule. He thanked God as he usually did. And then he asked God for help. You see, prayer made a big difference in Daniel's life. Prayer helped to shape Daniel's life as a courageous follower of God. And we believe that prayer is still important today. But why is prayer important today? Well, let's find out. Some of you will be familiar with a quiz show that used to be on TV called Family Fortunes. We have somebody in our house still likes to watch reruns of that on Challenge. And they normally ask a question, and they ask 100 people that question, and then you've got to guess what the answers are. And so 100 Christians were asked the question, why does the Bible say we should pray? And we've the 5 most popular answers ready to reveal. But before we look at those, what do you think? Maybe take a moment, if you have somebody beside you, you can hear each other through your masks, and maybe just share together, what do you think might be some of the answers? Why does the Bible say that we should pray? And if you're watching this at home with somebody, maybe take a moment and ask one another, what does the Bible say is the reason we should pray? And then we'll look at the 5 answers that were given. So let's just take a moment and think about that and maybe share with the person beside you. Maybe you're whispering here, I can't hear you, but then you have those face coverings on. Just take a wee moment. And Neil's going to put up on the screen the next picture, hopefully. That shows. There. Oh, no, get that off. Quick, Neil, get that off. We're not meant to see the answers yet. The answers are only meant to come up one at a time there, so maybe go back one. Okay, so 100 Christians were asked the question, and we have the 5 most popular answers ready to reveal, hopefully one at a time. The most important reason to pray that was given is because it's vital in our relationship with God. 98 out of 100 people said this. Can we get that up on the screen? Sorry? There's only one. Okay, that was maybe my fault. Well, then just put them up, Neil. Just put them up. There we go. Most important reason is our relationship with God. 98 people out of 100 said this. Remember that Bible verse we read at the start? It tells us this too. The Lord is close to everyone who prays. The Lord is close to his people. The Lord draws close to us as we pray to him. 61 out of 100 people said we pray because God cares for us. Peter wrote, give all your worries to him because he cares for you. And that's really important at the minute, isn't it? Maybe as we've gone back to school, whether as teachers or staff or as pupils, or we've been going back to work, even if we've been coming back to church in this building, I'm sure we've all had worries. We've all had fears because our media and our society have ramped up those fears over the last number of months. And so it's important to know that when we feel like that, we bring those worries to God because he cares for us. That's a great reason to pray, because God cares for us. Next, 46 out of 100 people said we pray because we need God's help. We need God's help. Every day we need God's help. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught his disciples to say, give us today our daily bread. That's acknowledging that we need God to provide for our needs from day to day. And God is, Jesus told us, like a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. Close behind with 42 votes, it's important to thank and praise God. It's really important that we don't just come to God with a whole list of the things that we need, but that we remember to say thank you to God for the things that he's given us and to praise God for the person that he is. Psalm 100 says, come into his courtyards with songs of praise. Thank him and praise his name. And finally, 36 people said that prayer is important in order to listen to God. Prayer isn't just meant to be about us talking. Sometimes we're in such a rush to say our prayers, we don't give God an opportunity to talk back to us. Proverbs chapter 1 gives this great advice. You foolish people, listen when I correct you. I will tell you what is in my heart. I will tell you what I am thinking. Prayer is important because we need to listen to God, to hear what God wants to say to us. Prayer made Daniel the person that he was. Prayer shaped Daniel. What about us? Do we pray regularly like Daniel? I suspect most of us don't have time in the day to kneel down 3 times in the day in prayer. But do we pray regularly like Daniel? And does prayer shape our character like it did Daniel's? Do we allow God to work through our praying to make us more like his son, the Lord Jesus? We're going to take a break there from Daniel's story for a couple of minutes, just to share with you announcements for today. And bear with me, because I forgot to print these off and bring them with me when I came down this morning. So this is from memory, so they may not be as complete as they would otherwise be. Folks, as I said last week, the Presbyterian Church, in common with the other main churches, is strongly recommending the use of face coverings when people come to services of worship. And I can assure you, looking out on our congregation today, that, like I said last week, we have plenty of ninja worshippers today, all wearing their face masks, some of them with their visors. This is a way of showing our love for our neighbour and seeking to protect one another. I know it's not something that we want to be doing. It's something that's uncomfortable. If you're like me, my glasses steam up constantly. I still haven't got around that. But it's important for the meantime that we do this. It's not for forever. It's just for now. And don't worry if you come to church on a Sunday morning and you get here and you discover you've forgotten one, because we have some that we can provide here for you on Sunday morning. So we would encourage you to make use of those. Be assured, folks, that I do have one with me. I do wear it before the service, but if we're participating then we are excused there, and we ensure that there's at least 4 meters between me and the first person in front of me. If I were wearing a mask, then you would really struggle to understand what I was saying. Some of you would say, well, there'd be no difference from normal then. It would be a lot more difficult, believe me, if I had that on. Folks, it's good to see those who are here this morning. It's good to see those who have been coming out over the last number of weeks since we went back at our Sunday services, the Kirk session. We're looking at how that was going at our meeting on Monday night. We were also looking at further steps to take. And as schools are going back, and as hopefully we get into more of a routine once again, we want to recommence a couple of things. But at the minute, all we're doing is recommencing activities on Sunday morning. And it is our hope that from the 13th of September, that Beginners Church and Kids Church will recommence. That's provided that all those guidelines that we're following are implemented there. So Beginners Church and Kids Church will certainly be, hopefully, God willing, be recommencing on September the 13th. And Kids Church, like Beginners, will start in their meeting place at 10:30. The children will not be coming in here. They'll be going directly to their meeting places at 10:30 on that Sunday. We hope to see our numbers increase. We know it's a bank holiday weekend, and there are folks who are trying to suck the last of those summer days to enjoy those away from Lisburn at the minute. But we hope as we go into September next week that our numbers will continue to increase. With social distancing, that obviously greatly limits the number of seats, but we still have room, and looking today, we still have plenty of room up in the gallery. And if necessary, like other churches in Lisburn, for example, our sister church across Sloane Street Presbyterian, they've started back to live worship, but they are going to be going to two services on a Sunday morning so that they can get more of their folks in. With social distancing, they can only accommodate about 70. So they're going to two services. At the minute, we're not in that situation, but we will keep that under review. Please do continue to register, folks. Again, I was late doing that. My head was away with it yesterday. It wasn't the only thing I forgot, as the guys down at the back know. But it's important that you register. The reason for that is, folks, we need to have a record of everybody who's here, and we need to know ahead of time how many we're expecting to be sure that we can accommodate everybody in the building while maintaining those 2 meter distancing rules. So do please continue to register. And then the shoeboxes. I announced this last week, Operation Christmas Child. There are shoeboxes available here today. You can take those custom-made boxes. They cost 50p each. Just leave the money on the chairs. Or if you're at home and you can't get in to get those boxes, just use an ordinary shoebox at home. Go online to the Samaritan's Purse and you'll find the instructions for what to do there. There is that third option, as I've said, of paying a donation to Samaritan's Purse and they will fill that shoebox for you. But as I said last week, where's the fun in that? But we do ask you folks to take part in that. But we need those boxes a month earlier. I think they're going to Iran again this year. And they were delayed getting into Iran last year. And so they're asking for those shoeboxes. We would need those back by the first Sunday in October. And then finally, to say, if you do have any announcements, could I ask you to communicate those to me by Wednesday morning, please? Either so they can be included in the congregational email, or so that we have them for Sunday. I think those are all the announcements. If I've forgotten something important, one of the elders can wave at me, or getting a couple of folks shaking their head. We're good. Okay. Let's go back to Daniel. We were thinking about how prayer shapes. Secondly, we want to think about how prayer saves. How prayer saves. And as we come back to the story in Daniel, we find Daniel was in danger. Because his enemies were spying on him. They were pretty sure that despite that rule they'd got the king to bring in, that Daniel would continue praying to God 3 times a day. And they discovered that was exactly what Daniel was doing. He wasn't running away and hiding. He wasn't praying to King Darius. He was still praying to the living God. And his enemies, when they saw that, they were delighted. Because they wanted to get rid of Daniel. As I told you, they were jealous about Daniel and how God had blessed Daniel. And this new law was clear. Darius had signed it. Anybody praying to anybody other than King Darius would face consequences, would face punishment. And the punishment in this case was that they would be flung into a den of lions. And so Daniel was brought before the king. He was accused of not following the law. And Daniel, of course, admitted that was the case, that he was still praying to the one true God. Now, we're not told how Daniel felt. But we know from his actions that he was calm. Daniel knew he hadn't done anything wrong. He knew it was more important to obey God rather than men. And so he didn't panic. He had absolute trust in God. Why? Because he had spent all these years praying to God. He knew God. He knew God was with him. He knew he wasn't alone. See, prayer helps us to know God and to know what God is like. And it teaches us that God can be trusted. Remember again the Bible verse that we heard right at the start of our service. Let's hear it once again from Psalm 145. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him, and he hears their cry and saves them. God was close to Daniel, and that made all the difference. But Daniel's prayers didn't just save Daniel. It seems as we follow the story in chapter 6 that they also helped to save the king. Now, Darius really liked Daniel, and the Bible tells us that he tried to rescue Daniel from having to go into the lion's den. The Bible says he made every effort until sunset to save him. But the king realized that even he could do nothing. He had to carry out the law he had issued. Back then, when the king of Persia issued a law, it could not be changed. And so even though he was king, he was powerless. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. Darius realized he couldn't rescue Daniel. Only Daniel's God could do that. And so as Daniel was being flung into the den of lions, King Darius realized Daniel's only hope was God. And he said, Daniel, cry out to your God to save you. King Darius was showing the first step it takes to truly trust God, recognizing that God is in control and we are not, and that only God can save us. Friends, during this pandemic, I think this is one of the main lessons that God has been trying to teach many of us, isn't it? To teach us that we are not in control. We used to like to think that we were in control of our lives. We were in control of our plans. We were in control of what we did from day to day. But we've learned that we're not in control. And so it's so good and important to remember that God is in control. That despite everything happening in our world, God is still on his throne. As we saw last week in Psalm 29. And so we need to trust God. And we need to bring our prayers to God. Well, we're told that night King Darius couldn't sleep a wink. He wouldn't take any food. He was just worrying the whole night about Daniel. And so after a sleepless night, the next morning, the king hurried to the lion's den, desperately hoping that God had heard Daniel's prayer. And what did he find? Did he just find a pile of Daniel's bones? No. He found out that God had answered Daniel's prayer. Miraculously, Daniel was completely safe and unharmed, and he told Darius that his God had shut the lion's mouths, and they hadn't touched him. And what an amazing sight that must have been. God had saved his servant Daniel. God had heard Daniel's prayer. The seemingly impossible had happened. Daniel was alive, not dead. And Darius knew only a true God could have done this. Darius had seen firsthand the power of God, and he was overjoyed that his servant Daniel was unharmed. And so Darius came to trust God for himself. And not only that, we're told at the end of chapter 6 that Darius issued another decree that everyone in his kingdom should respect and fear the God of Daniel. This is what he said, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. Prayer saves. Prayer saved Daniel. And it seems prayer saved King Darius. That's a real encouragement to us today in the challenges that we face in our daily lives. Prayer shapes who we are. God works in our life, and prayer is able to save us. And of course, the greatest prayer that any of us can pray is to ask Jesus to forgive us for our sins and to accept him as our Lord and Savior. That prayer saves us from sin and its punishment, and it brings us into God's family. And then we know that God hears all our prayers for Jesus' sake and is able to shape our lives and to save us from those things that frighten us. As we return to our schools again on Tuesday, isn't it great to have tomorrow off? But as you return to schools on Tuesday, and as many more return to their workplaces, there are things I'm sure that make us nervous. There are things that frighten us. I know many of our church family are still frightened, folks. I understand why we're frightened. Many of us have been facing that battle between faith and fear going on in our lives. So let's remember, let's bring those fears to God, the God who is able to shape our lives, God who is able to save us, to deliver us from those fears, and to give us confidence in him and the strength that comes from him. Let's bring those things to God in prayer. Let's become more like Jesus, who when he was on this earth dedicated himself to praying to his Father. Prayer can save us from our fears and our troubles. The Lord is near to all who call on him. To all who call on him in truth, he fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. On this Back to School with God Sunday, we want to pray for our children. We want to pray for our teachers. We want to pray for our local schools. And it's a privilege to be involved with our local schools. Again, one of the consequences of the pandemic is that I can't and Stephen can't. We can't go in to speak to the boys and girls as we normally do. And we know our schools have been through challenging times. And so we want to pray for them. And as we do that, we're going to be led in our prayers by our own Daniel, Daniel McGuckin. Then we're going to hear from Abby Manine and John McCleary, and then from Stephen Wood. So let's come before God together now in prayer.
Father God, thank you for our primary schools and all of those who work in them. Thank you that we are able to get back to school again. And we remember in prayer all the children in the world who have no school to go to. Please encourage our school staff who do such a brilliant job of running our schools. Please help them to adjust to a new routine. Please help all the boys and girls who are starting school for the first time or who are nervous about returning to school. Help them to settle quickly and know that you're with them. When we are worried like Daniel in the Bible, remind us that we can turn to you and ask for help. Lord, hear our prayer.
Father God, thank you for the Bible story of Daniel and for his good character shaped by prayer. Lord, we pray that the same might be said of those who work or study in our secondary schools. We pray that we may be people who can be trusted, who work hard and are respectful and kind. Lord, we are grateful for our education. Help us to appreciate those who teach us. As we go back to school, please help those who are anxious or afraid. Strengthen our school community so that we may help and support one another. Lord, hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for our nurseries and those who work in them. Thank you, Lord, for watching over our little children. Thank you that you love them. We pray you will help nursery staff in the amazing job they do, creating happy places where our children can be safe and cared for well. Please help the children to settle, make friends, and learn to love and help one another. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, we thank you for this service today and for the reminder that prayer shapes and prayer saves. Remind us to pray for our schools, those who work in them, and the children and young people who attend them. We pray for the SU groups that meet in them, asking that pupils will grasp what a great God you are. We lift our children to you, we love them, and we want to see them flourish at school. Lord, thank you for sustaining them through the months spent at home. Help them now to readjust and to gladly benefit from being part of a church and a school family once more. We ask you to bless our community and our role as a church within it. May our prayers make a difference. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
Amen. And folks, let's remember to continue to pray for our schools as they do start back in earnest this week. We know there are challenges. We know there are going to be bumps along the road here, but I think it's good that we're getting our children back to school. I think the damage that continuing to keep children locked at home is much greater than the risk of having them back in school. But let's remember to pray, for our church family, for all of those, and many of those in Railway Street who are involved in our education system. As we close our service, we join together to sing a very appropriate hymn, the hymn that would most obviously come to mind as we think about prayer, that wonderful gift that God has given us that can shape us and that can save us. And so we're concluding our service as we praise God in the words of "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Well, whether you're here in our meeting house or watching at home, let's join together in the words of the benediction. Let's say the words of the grace. "And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen."